but there's always room for improvement. And I will challenge the audience and say, so where does that improvement come from? Because if you go the extra mile and exceed expectations, those are the words that your competition are talking about right now. And I said, in 6 months' time, you'll have all got, you know, an extra mile further forward. But it's hardly the leap you could make unless you change your mindset.
Welcome to Your Intended Message, the perfect place for leaders and promising professionals who want to convey the intended message for greater success. Every week, we interview experts who address the challenges and best practices to deliver your message effectively. That might be one-to-one, one-to-few, or one-to-many. And perhaps the most important conversation, one-to-self. I'm your host, George Torok.
My guest today is Jeff Ram. Here's three facts that I think you should know about him. One. Forbes called him a game changer. And we got to hear more about that later. Two, Jeff, as at this point, has spoken in 50 countries around the world. And in fact, Jeff and I met on one of our overseas travels. That's where we met, in Asia. Three, the third fact is, if you look behind Jeff, you see on the wall here, for those watching the video, he's a huge Star Wars fan. And he once received a personalized video from one of those film stars. Another mystery we've got to learn about. Jeff Ram, welcome to Your Intended Message.
Thank you so much, George. Hope you are well, my friend. And we've got to mention this. This has been recorded on St. George's Day, which, of course, is all about George Torok. So, what a perfect day to do this.
And also for the listeners, not only is it the day for me, but also Jeff, in case you haven't figured out yet, he is based in the UK. That's that funny sounding voice he's got. And apparently it's even called, it's a regional accent called Geordie.
There's many accents. There's 1,000 accents in England. But yeah, in the northeast of England, there's a few variations of the English accent. Sometimes I have to be translated into English. So and there you I go. Might, but yeah, great to see you, George, on St. George's Day. It couldn't have been a better day to plan this.
And from time to time, I'll translate from Jeff's English into our English. Jeff, okay, so you've got us wondering, how did Forbes end up calling you a game changer? Because I'm going to figure out how to do that for me.
This is really quite surreal, George. Okay, so we both met as I was, I know, big, very big conference, an international conference many years ago, and we have a love and a passion for speaking. This is what we do. This is our passion, and we're both members of of the same organization, the speaking associations that there are around the world, and I was invited. Now, I believe I was the first Englishman to have ever been on the main stage at NSA, the National Speakers Association, in America. And that's a huge thing. Main stage, that, and of course, the worst thing is, in the audience are speakers.
Office audience.
It's the best and the worst audience. And if you're ever going to be nervous, that is the one. So here I am, an Englishman, and I go to Dallas. And I'm keynoting. I've got 20 minutes to deliver the best stuff I've ever had on Celebrity Service. And the nerves are crazy, crazy mad. I deliver my 20 minutes and I come off stage and there's a standing ovation, all of this crazy stuff. I was like, wow. And I walk off stage and all I think is, wow, I think I did okay. Just get through it. And I come off stage and you hugged and you kissed. Remember those times before COVID, you know, when you can hug and kiss? And I had all these lovely people and I sat in the green room and I'm, whew, and I check my phone, as we all do, just, you know, I wonder if anybody said anything. I wonder if, is Twitter X gone crazy? Who knows? You know, anyhow. So I get this messenger message. Hi, Jeff. My name is, and I'm from Forbes magazine, and I would love to do an article on you. Please contact this number. Now, you know those emails that we've all received over the years, you know, congratulations, Mr. Turok. I'm a Nigerian prince. I have $3 trillion waiting for you. Just give me your bank details and I'll transfer. And you're like, what? And I looked at this. Forbes wants to do an article. Call this number. So I replied and I said, yeah, no problem at all. I'll get back to you soon. And thought nothing of it. And a few minutes later, they replied back and they said, well, that would be great, Jeff, you know, because I've just seen you speak in Dallas. So if I could have a few moments with you. And I replied back, I said, sorry? Yeah, I've just seen your keynote. You've just came off stage. And I can't believe what you've just said. It would be brilliant for our, you know, for our followers at Forbes. Can I buy you coffee? And it was real. I thought it was bogus. So I replied back. I was like, yeah, I'll buy you coffee. Anyhow, we had coffee. We had, what must have been a two-hour meeting. It was fabulous. Took all these ideas down, took all this stuff. And lo and behold, some days later, they said, you know, Jeff Ram, he's a game changer in the world of customer service. And I was like, oh, wow. And this whole article was wonderful. But that was the line. That was the line. And I just thought, I'd put that on my gravestone. That will do. So there you go. That's how it all came about. I thought I'd won millions from a Nigerian prince, but there we go. The Forbes line, he's a game changer, was pretty special.
Yes, and you can't buy that. That's powerful.
Yeah.
Jeff, so I've heard some of your stories, and they're fabulous stories, and you are a collector of, you're a compiler of customer service excellence. And you tell a story in your very colorful way and humor and emotion and surprise. What was it that Forbes saw or heard from you that stimulated that line to call you a game changer? What did they see? What did they learn from you?
Oh, George, that's a good question. What did they see in me? I don't know what I see in myself. So I'm trying to think what other people see in me. I hope that they saw something new in the world of customer service. Because I'll be honest with you right now, hand on heart, there's been nothing new in the world of customer service for the last five decades. You know, maybe it's 40, 50 years. It's the same old, same old. Many of your viewers, many of your listeners on this pod right now, your intended message will have read so many customer service books. You'll have attended so many customer service training days. You'll have maybe seen some customer service speakers. You might have read through manuals and you're thinking, well, how do I stand out from the competition? How do I deliver a greater experience or service? And for the last 50 years, every book, trainer, book, manual, speaker will tell you the same two things. There's only two. The first is, you must always go the extra
mile.
Now, I ask, I put this at the front of many of my keynotes. I'll say to the audience, you know, you must always go the extra. And they all go, mile. And the passion and the enthusiasm from the audience is quite scary. And I'm like, okay. And the second thing you must do that every book, speaker, trainer, book, manual will tell you is you must always exceed
expectations.
So there's nothing new in the world of customer service. Now, when I walked onto the stage and Forbes were in the audience that day in Dallas, I spoke about something called celebrity service. And I walk on stage and 9 times out of 10, my opening line is this. On the scale of 1 to 10, where 1 is abysmal, but 10 is incredible, what number would you give yourself right now for the levels of service and experience you're giving your customers, clients, members, passengers, guests, depending on the audience? On the scale of 1 to 10, how would you rate yourself? And I get everybody in the audience to give themselves a number. Then we do a little bit of a shout out. Okay, there are no 1s, 2s, or 3s. So let's start the bidding at 4 and 5. Give me a wave if you're a 4 or 5. Few people put their hand up. 6s and 7s. Quite a lot of people will put their hand up. 8. Quite a lot of people. 9. Maybe it's a handful of people. And I'll say 10. Who here is delivering an incredible customer experience? You might get one or two people in the audience if you're lucky. But the vast majority of people that I ask in every one of the 50 countries I've ever spoken in, the vast majority say there are 7 or 8. Okay? So which I bet people listening on the pod right now are thinking, yeah, I'm an 8, I'm a 7. So people say to me, Jeff, we're pretty good. If you'd put your hand up right there, for anybody listening, I've got my hand up quite high. Jeff, we're pretty good. But there's always room for improvement. And I will challenge the audience and say, so where does that improvement come from? Because if you go the extra mile and exceed expectations, those are the words that your competition are talking about right now. And I said, in 6 months' time, you'll have all got, you know, an extra mile further forward. But it's hardly the leap you could make unless you change your mindset. And you change your mindset with one question. And that question is a philosophy. It's a philosophy that I've wrote about, that I speak about all over the world. It's the philosophy that every audience, every team, every brand gets within seconds. And this is what I hope Forbes may have just seen in me. So I'll say, right, how do you go from that 7 to an 8 to a 9 to a 10 and beyond? It's this one question. If your next customer, client, passenger, member, guest were an A-list celebrity, Hollywood, God or goddess, if your next client were Taylor Swift, George Clooney, Denzel Washington, what would you say? What would you do? How would you react? What would be the difference in the way that you would treat them to Jeff or George? And you can see the audience going, oh, I would, oh. Now, there will be people in the audience, and I always have this, there's always two people in every audience. Oh, no, Jeff, we treat everybody the same. And I quite politely say, shut up. You wouldn't. You see, because if Angelina Jolie emailed you for a quote, would you reply in the same way? Would you use the same cut and paste Word document with her name at the top? Would you send her the same PDF? Would you wait 24, 48 hours to call her back? The answer is no. You would deliver a greater service experience to that person. Now, Angelina Jolie has got the same $9.99 as George Turok, but guess what? It's Angelina Jolie. What? How? You know, if Angelina or George or Brad, anybody like this, wanted to come to your office, you're wearing your best clothes.
Mm.
You've had a closer shave.
Mm.
You've brought in better biscuits. You've made greater coffee. You've polished your desk a little bit too much this morning. You may have had a parking space reserved for them outside because George Clooney's on his way. And when I deliver this with Forbes in Dallas, it's actually on my website. So people can help themselves. It's on my YouTube channel. So please help yourself. You'll get the full story of how celebrity service came about. And I'd say to audiences, great, you're delivering a good level of service, 7s and 8s. That's a pretty good number. But if a celebrity were to become your next customer, everything would change. And your service levels will go to there, to there. And for people listening, I've just raised my hand half an inch to say that is the gap. That is the gap you don't realize exists between you and your team to the service that you could deliver. And it's called celebrity service. So I think when I walked on stage and I delivered that first 10 minutes of what celebrity service was and what it is and how it came about, because it's so different and because it's a true story that happened many years ago here in the United Kingdom, it just resonates. And you know, for everybody listening to your intended message, and I've listened to many of these pods myself, George, over the years, we talk about storytelling. We talk about real examples that we personally have gone through. And that's what resonates with an audience. That's what resonates with teams. They see that something is real, and therefore you're telling the story. Now, if we can do this in a humorous way, an exciting way, in a really mysterious way, then we can help build the picture in that audience's mind that will inspire them to think differently for their own business. So that's what I did for the first 10 minutes. And the second 10 minutes, I called, it was a story, a customer service story that involved my daughter. And I went to a toy store in the center of London called Hamleys. It's known as the world's most famous toy store. And it was an engagement, an interaction I had with a member of staff as I was looking for a gift for my daughter's fourth birthday.
Is that Haley?
Oh, Haley's my wife. This is Grace, our daughter.
Oh,
yeah.
Grace, got it.
So this is for, and I just tell the story. But what I have, George, on screen, and you've seen this many times when we've spoken internationally together, I show pictures of my daughter and her love for colouring in and art. And so I show these photographs of when she was little, colouring in. And so the audience can see what my daughter, they know her name, they know what she loves, but now they can see her. And that connection to the audience is very, very strong. But I'm telling the story of this experience in a toy shop, but I see the funny and I see the quirky in all of the stories that I tell. And it was a beautiful piece of selling. It was a beautiful piece of customer experience, but it was all about personalization, which I talk a lot about. Because people talk about personalization, but I don't see many examples. So when I deliver my stories, they're packed full of examples, but hopefully there's some key tips and learnings from that, that a business can go, do you know what, Jeff, I'm a speaker. I don't have a toy shop in London, but I've just learned something there. I can just pick up an idea that will help my business. So I'm hoping that Forbes saw something fun, something different, but something that was very real, very grounded in terms of real life stories. You know, I have over 500 stories, by the way, but all of my stories I collect. So there are photographs of on holiday or in a local pub or in a restaurant or in an airline, doesn't matter where it is. But I see the great and I see the quirky and I see the different. And that's what I love to share with audiences. And that's what resonates. So, yeah, I hope you might have to contact Forbes. They might say, no, Jeff, you know, we didn't like any of that. We found something else.
And Jeff, what you have there is an invaluable treasure trove of stories, because I've noticed that when people get together and we talk and we share customer service stories, we have a lot of stories about terrible customer service.
Yes.
And we tend to share those stories more, and especially on social media. But those stories about the exceptional service, those are few.
Yes. Yes. George, you've hit the nail on the head there. I could quite easily do a 45-minute keynote about all the bad things in the world, about the company that didn't get back to me, about the person that messed up, about the person that, put a zero on the end of the invoice, about the it doesn't help the audience. We can share negatives with friends and family and, I can't believe what happened to me. And who was that? I wouldn't use them again. For me personally, I would never do that in a keynote. Now, I do have one exception. I'll have a little bit of fun. I'll poke fun at a business, something that I see, but it lasts for about 30 seconds at the beginning of my talk. And the rest of the 44 and a half minutes is packed full of the positives. Because if I was to share nonstop negative ideas, you wouldn't believe how poor is this. I genuinely believe it doesn't help the audience. And you would stay away from the negative stories. Now, everybody knows how to stay away from the negative stories. But I want to inspire people towards the great stories, the great people, the great businesses and brands that do something different and create those magic celebrity service moments. So all of my material is positive, would you believe it? But that's how I prefer to do it. And if I can share a story, an idea, a technique from somebody, or it might be something that I've helped a client with, and I'll show them the idea. But what I would say, George, is in my keynotes and in my interactive sessions, I'm never the hero in my own story. I never put myself, I don't build my own statue. I don't put myself on a plinth and say, ta-da, look at Jeff Ram. Amazing. But I will tell the story from a fact of, you'll never guess what I saw last week. We were on holiday last month, and this is what happened. And the audience are with you. If I was to say, so last month, this is what I did for a client and everybody loves it. It might be the Britishness in me. You know, I don't talk about the things that I do. But after 22 years and 50 countries and some of the clients that I work with, I think it's going okay.
Mm. And Jeff, curious, you mentioned the importance of personalization. Mm. And I'm reminded. Oh, so here's one of the bugaboos that bother me. I get emails from people who want to be guests on my podcast.
Okay.
And their opening line is, hi there. Hi there. I don't answer to there. You couldn't even lurk up my name.
I mean, you know, when I emailed you, I said, you know, dear God to rock. You were like, I am. Yeah. And we get this on LinkedIn all of the time, don't we? I realize that we share many people in common. Okay. Can we spare 5 minutes to tell you about? And then as soon as you accept somebody, because I don't know who's in the audience. And it's a really strange one for me, LinkedIn. So you get all these requests. And of course I'm looking, thinking, is this going to be a sales message? But it could be somebody who was in the audience last week. And if I don't accept them, he talks about celebrity service. He doesn't even accept anybody. Got to be a bit careful. And of course, but then you get the message 3 to 4 screens depth long. It's incredible. You know, we turn door knocking into LinkedIn posting. Mm. But hey ho. What was the question? Where were we going with that? Personalization.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And how do you see people doing that? And it must differ depending on the type of business.
Yes. Look, if you or I have a favorite hotel or airline, if they find out some information about us, they could do something special. They could. Not always. Very rarely, in fact. But I think there's certain... Okay, let me give you an example. It's one that I talk about quite frequently now, if I've put it in a lot of my keynotes. Because how often do we hear in the world of business, oh, you know, boring accountancy. I think it's awful when even accountants say we're not as boring as you think. It's kind of the self-fulfilled, this prophecy of boring. Just talk positive about yourself. You know, this anyhow. Our Haley and I as accountant, as a guy called Stephen Paul. He's based in the northeast of England, about 20 miles from our home, and we see him twice a year. Wonderful guy. He's a family friend, if I'm honest with you now, which is lovely. So we know each other's families and we go out. Lovely guy. But of course, in the early days, it's, you know, it's business and you're getting to know each other. But twice a year, we would see him to look at the books and to plan the year ahead. Now, this is good service, George. For anybody listening here, good service. I'm going to get to the art of personalization very soon. So you would meet Stephen, hug, kiss, hey, big guy, he's a big guy. I'm 6'2", he's towers over me. Big bear hug, have a seat. And the first thing anybody asks you when you go to there, can I get you a drink? Would you like a tea or a coffee? And I said, oh, I'll have a coffee and Haley will have a tea. And then 5 minutes later, the drinks would arrive. That is good service. Tick in the box, great. And then you go through, you have a two-hour meeting. For a number of years, when the tea and coffee arrived, the mugs and the cups were all different shapes, sizes, colors. It's almost like you've gone to a garage sale or a jumble sale, as they call them here in the UK. And there's always somebody selling a load of mugs for, you know, 5 cents each to get rid of it out of the garage. And it's all these different color shapes and sizes. But the coffee and the tea are nice. That's good. But I'm looking at these mugs and cups thinking, this is so off-brand. It doesn't suit what we are experiencing. Anyhow, I say nothing. I'm dying to say something, but I say nothing. But we have a few more meetings and a couple of years roll on and the same thing happens. So At the end of this one meeting, Stephen, who has read my books, who has seen some of my events, he says, oh, can I pick your brains? I said, yeah, go for it. And we'd finished with my business and he's wanting to pick his brains for his. I said, yeah, go for it. How can I help? He says, I'm looking to bring a bit more celebrity service into when clients, potential clients, come and see us for the first time. You know, we want to deliver that great experience. Have you got any ideas? And it's at this stage, Haley, my wife, she sort of nudged me under the table. She was like, shh, don't. And I couldn't help myself. I just went, I've got one idea, Stephen. Just the one idea. And it's when people first come and you're great and nice cup and fantastic. I says, but you've got to stand out. You've got to stand out. You've got to do something. Take the effort. Take the effort to create something that will live in that potential client's minds for decades to come, whether they choose you or not. Be the brand, be the business that thought about doing something different and actioned difference. And he said, like what? I said, okay, your mugs. He said, what? I says, where are these from? I said, everyone's different. And he hadn't saw it. He just went, oh. He says, I hadn't seen it. He said, oh my God. Right. Brilliant, Jeff. Fantastic. Thank you. I'm now going to get mugs, my own branded mugs. And this is what I'm going to do. Thank you very much. And so this is what he did. And for those listening right now, I'm holding up the mug. It says Valued, which is the name of his brilliant business. But what does that say, George?
Putting you first.
That's their tagline, putting you first. So we've gone from good coffee tea to great.
Mm.
Stephen, there's another level. I said, what do you mean? I said, you know we're coming. He said, yeah. I said, you made the appointment. Yeah. So I said, a month ago, you know that Jeff and Haley are arriving here on Tuesday the 15th at 3 p.m. He said, yeah. I said, use that information. And we went from putting you first to putting you first.
Ah, there's a Haley mug and a Jeff mug. Whoa.
That so on one side, we have better mugs. Okay, I get it. The branding's on one side, but now our names have been printed on the other. Now, let me give you the example of the difference here, okay? We have a $5 mug, but when we have to spend a little bit more and personalize it, it becomes $9. Now, to the people who, it's an extra $4. What we're going to do? I'm thinking about, can you create those magic moments that will live in that client's mind that gets you Instagrammable in seconds? And this was wonderful because he said, oh, we could do that. I said, every new potential client that walks in through these doors, you're going to create a PDF. You're going to go back to a proposal. You're going to do all these wonderful things. But right at the outset, treat them as if they were an A-list celebrity and roll out the red carpet and personalize whatever you can. And he said to me, he said, Jeff, but what happens if they want to take them home?
You want them to do that.
Let them. I said, because after a year, if you've got 3,500 mugs, you're going to have more mugs than computers in your office. I said, don't do it. I said, let them take it. Let them see it. Let them take a photograph of it. Let it just sink in that, my word, we've seen three new accountants this week who stood out for $4, George, $4 more. But the art of personalization is not a click of a button on a CRM system that says, hey, God, Tarok. Or it's hi there, or it's hi, Mr. George, or hi, Mr. T. You missed out on that one. The art of personalization is really thinking about the normal everyday things and thinking, what can we do to make that person have the biggest smile on their face because they're never going to expect it, ever. And this is part of the celebrity service message, creating a bit of excitement You know, putting a smile on somebody's face that costs next to nothing, but means the world. And yeah, all accountants are boring. Don't believe it. We all have the power to create these celebrity service moments, but we need to change our mindset. We need to think a little bit differently.
Powerful example. Jeff, for people who'd like to read some of those stories, you've got two books out that compile and tell some of those stories. And the books are celebrities. The first one, Celebrity Service, yeah. And then Celebrity Service Superstars. You can find them on Jeff's website. We got that link in the description below. You can also find it on Amazon for ideas. So if you're looking at your business and you're thinking, well, what can I do? I'm just a boring, competitive business. How can I stand out? There's the ideas. Jeff, as we prepare to wrap up, if you could talk to a business owner who's in a competitive business, especially a service business where all this, you know, everyone looks the same. If you could give them one, two, or three pieces of advice to help them just get that half an inch higher in this, all the way to celebrity service, what might be those one, two, or three pieces of advice?
First of all, speed. Speed is crucial right now. How many of us, you know, we send an email to a company and the email comes back, thank you very much for your inquiry. We will get back to you in 48 hours. I could fly to Australia and back and you still haven't come back to me. Okay. Speed is critical. So for somebody in a service environment or any business for that matter, speed. So the inquiry, this happens to me a lot. I get an inquiry about, can you come in? We're looking at a conference. It's in Milan. It's in Dublin, wherever it may be in the world, Toronto, wherever it may be. This is the date. This is the time. And people ask you and I the same questions. Are you available? What's your fee? And as soon as the email comes in, I wait 10 minutes and I never email back. I pick up this thing called a telephone. And I'll say, oh, hi, is that George? Yes, it is. Hi, George, it's Jeff Ram here. Oh, I've just emailed you. I know. And nobody ever expects a callback so quick. Speed is important. I don't know if George at that event somewhere around the world is also sent out the same email to two or three other speakers. I want to be the first person. So what happens is, me and you connect. I said, I hope you don't mind, but if you've got 5 minutes, let's have a quick chat about your event and how I can help. I've checked the diary. I am available on that date. What's the audience? What are you looking to get for? Bah, 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 bah. And we build up rapport straight away. Within 24 hours, I have already sent you a proposal. Now, don't send the proposal within an hour. I know I'm saying speed is great, but within an hour, it's a little, you know, give it a bit of thought, give it a bit of time. 24 hours, you have received the proposal. Within 48 hours, and you don't know this is going to happen, I've already sent a box in the post. Inside that box is a box of chocolates. Inside that box is a postcard that says thanks. And inside that box is also one or two copies of my book. And I will handwrite on every postcard. And I've sent two to the local post office this morning. I sent one to Hamburg yesterday. I sent six last week. And on that card, I say, hi, George, it was great talking to you. It would be amazing to work with you. And what I thought I'd do is I'd send you a copy of my book. I hope you enjoy the stories and ideas. And also for the team, there's a box of chocolates in there for you as well. I do it for every single inquiry. Speed is important. Following up, again, just keep in contact. Sometimes you're not the right person for the job. And I think honesty is a huge part of delivering a better service experience. And you say, do you know what? It sounds fantastic. To be honest with you, I know a guy called George Turok. I think he would be better served for this. So what I'm going to do, look, if you want me, great. Have a word with George as well. And because I only want the best for you and your audience. That shocks clients. But then I'm recommending somebody who I think would be perfect. And it's you've got to see yourself as the second tip here from what you asked me. You've got to see yourself as the white knight on the white horse on St. George's Day. You've got to see yourself as the person that is going to help that person, whether it's you, whether it's somebody else. Just help. People will remember for you helping them, because there is nothing more stressful than organizing a conference. It's like organizing a wedding every single year for people, some people you don't even like. It's a big, big undertaking. So I try and make it easy. So speed, help, support that person. And if you're not the right person, give them links, give them, you know. And thirdly, you asked the question in terms of a service environment, you know, a smaller business. Look at points of the year in which you can deliver celebrity service. Now, the obvious one is Christmas. It's an easy one. It's an easy one. But for 22 years in business, George, I send out huge gifts, chocolate, lots of, you know, all the fun stuff we remember as children to my clients all over the world. I've got to tell you this, Christmas cards. I sound like a dinosaur now. Oh, Jeff, you can just send one on your phone. No. You see, how do you stand out in a crowded marketplace? Nobody sends mail anymore. Nobody uses the post. You know, years ago, our letterboxes were full. Our inboxes were empty. Now, our inboxes are overcrowded and our letterboxes are empty. And every Christmas, I send out huge gift boxes to say thank you for the business. The T in celebrity is thank you. How are you thanking your clients for the business that they've given you this year and for the money that they've put in your account that has put food on your plate? How do you appreciate their business? What does it look like? For all of the work that you've ever had done in your home, a carpet cleaned, work done in your garden, when has anybody left you a bunch of flowers, a plant, a bottle of wine, anything? Because in times like this, the cost of living crisis, and the everything that we're going through at the moment, it's at these times in which businesses haul back. They pull up the drawbridge. They don't want these extra costs. And if you just lower that drawbridge and add a little bit more, people will come flooding in.
Mm.
Those are my tips.
Powerful advice, Jeff. My guest today is Jeff Ram, reminding you to treat that next customer like an A-list celebrity.
If you like what you heard, tell your friends and post your 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, because that helps more listeners find us. Come back every week for more practical insights to help you deliver your intended message. I'm your host, George Torok.